Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast.
Former colleagues who, despite that handshake, have apparently come to curse the other's existence. The keeper comes a long way and drops it. Ibrahimovic puts Manchester United back in business. A penny for Joe Hart's thoughts now. A high ball that he would routinely expect to take, dropped by his replacement. Manchester is painted in a blue hue today. Guardiola, a winner in his first derby.
Done and dusted in front of the cop. Anfield's relaunch. A happy day. Champions well beaten.
And Costa! Love him or hate him, you simply can't ignore him.
And that is it. The referee blows the full-time whistle, and Toronto FC are back top of the table in the Eastern Conference of MLS with a famous 2-1 victory here over the Chicago Fire.
And another win for you, Jerry. You're on a roll in your last match here, and what a way to go out.
One final time for me tonight. I'm Jerry Dobson, and thanks for watching.
And thank you, Jerry Dobson. Yes, it was the end of the farewell tour for Jerry this past weekend, pulling TFC's match and their win. That's, I believe, five straight wins to end the season for Jerry. And Paul Dolan pulling games. And, if you've spoken to Jerry about the earlier TFC era when he pulled games, I think it took him about 10 before that. Maybe even a goal or a win, I'm not sure. But he's gone out in style, that's for sure. Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast. James Sharman, Brendan Dunlop, Thomas Dobby. Good day, fellas.
Hello.
Buen dia. All
right.
Listen to Jerry in that last broadcast, and I know Jerry's not that comfortable with all these accolades coming his way. We heard from Josie Altidore, and we heard from Jonathan Azorio. There's a great piece by Laura Armstrong in the Toronto Star on Saturday as well. He's not comfortable being in the spotlight, is Jerry, but certainly a fair farewell to a wonderful career. So thank you, Jerry. I'm sure you're not listening to this podcast, but thank you anyway.
On the golf course already?
I imagine he must be. Yeah, he must be.
You would be. You would milk the hell out
of it. Oh, absolutely. I'd want a car driven out on the field for me. I want tickets for, you know, Paris with the wife. Milk it.
You'd expect a new gift. Oh, new board up?
David Ortiz, yeah. Here's a parka, yeah.
Big
surfboard.
Pappy.
Yeah.
You can call me Big Pappy if you like.
You're kind of the Big Poppy of this podcast, I guess.
Oh, the old Poppy, maybe.
Yeah.
The old bastard, that's for sure. By the way, I haven't seen you post your 22 push-ups in 22 days yet, B.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you haven't. I'm going to do that. I just have to map out the part of my house that I want to use for a video.
Tape every day.
You can do it if you want. You can do them from your knees.
You got to record it every day. Like, you record the video of it every day.
Yeah, that's the idea. The whole concept is, I did this on Facebook, and it's going around. It's getting, I guess it's going viral around the world. Is 22 push-ups for 22 days straight to raise awareness for suicides and PTSD in the military, both during the service and post-service. It's out of control. And this basically just to raise awareness, people are doing this thing. And I challenged B over the weekend. I challenged Tom as well yesterday. And you say you're in for it as well, right?
Sure. Yeah, I'll do it starting today.
But when have I ever not been late for something? Like, you didn't
expect
exactly. I've done it already.
I'll do it in like January of 2019.
It's easier than the ice bucket challenge. That was that last year or the year before?
Year before.
Was it the year
2014?
Before?
Yeah.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last summer.
No, I think it may be the year before, actually.
2014, man.
Anyways, that was successful. It raised a lot of money and actually helped with some breakthroughs at recently saw. So
yeah that's and good. Push-ups are just much more fun than dousing yourself in ice water.
I don't know if I have 22 people that I am close enough to nominate.
That's what I thought as well. And it's I'm on day five today, and it's a bit of a stretch because some of my friends,
like
they might die. They might kill over. Like, there's no way
A lot of my friends could do 20 yeah. push-ups.
Well, we know that you were running thin. It's 4 days in, you've already nominated both of us. There was no one else in your life.
I anticipated the podcast on Monday, so I better get you guys
yeah.
in. We don't forward plan for these podcasts. Are you kidding me?
Good weekend of football, eh?
Very good.
Really good. Great performances. Forget the results for a minute because, listen, it is early in the season and maybe these games are big games, but we won't know until game 38. But performance-wise, Man City in the derby, which was a brilliant derby, albeit really early on Saturday morning. City's performance, my God, they are pretty special, aren't they? And what Pep's done in such a short time, in that first half in particular, it is extremely impressive. He has come as advertised, hasn't he?
Yeah, I always worry about the amount of expectation on new managers at a club and guys with the ilk of Mourinho and Guardiola and the expectations that these guys are going to be the saviors. And we do hail these guys as geniuses. And then you see the effect that Guardiola has had on this team in just four games and the difference from last year. And you see why. And he really is immediately changing the dynamic of this team and the effort level and the pressing and the what he's brought out of guys like Raheem Sterling and allowing guys to elevate themselves. And without even having Aguero in that game, they went in there in the first half and they dominated and they played almost a perfect half until the mistake by Bravo at the end. And that's a different story, but you have to give that credit to the manager because he's the one that set out that game plan and set out that tactical vision, and it worked.
And invented Tiki long ball, which we'll now use.
Isn't that great? Yeah, the big ball over the top, flicked him by Iheanacho to De Bruyne.
Yeah.
He scores the goal. And that, to me, is a great example, though. You know, we expect this tiki-taka from Pep, and we saw that in the first half. But suddenly, out of nowhere, boom, one long ball, mm-hmm. which kind of took United by surprise. Daley Blind was rooted to the spot.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
But it just shows this team is so versatile. That was, for me, you know, that was the statement game. Early as it is, that's mm-hmm. a statement game. They are the team to beat. As much as United came on, and I think City really changed the tactics in the second half. They sat deeper. They showed that they could defend as well. But that told me that they are the team to beat. And we discussed this thing even last week. United and City, you know, who's it? It's City right mm-hmm. now, isn't it?
Did you not think, though, that City were going to concede an equalizer?
Well, they could have done. They're two pretty controversial non-calls, yes. aren't they, in the box. So you're right. United were definitely better in the second half once Jose figured it out. But,
yeah.
boy, was he outcoached in the first half. And that yeah. was proven by taking off Lindegaard and Mkhitaryan, who mm-hmm. clearly isn't match fit.
No.
At halftime.
I was surprised that Mkhitaryan started because I just felt as though he wasn't integrated into the side. And sure, that's unfair. We don't see training, but he hadn't been involved enough in the lead up. Now, this is a massive game. He's not exactly in his ideal role either. So I was surprised to see him out there. And then Lingard in the starting lineup as well. I thought, okay, maybe there's something to this we're not seeing. But my God, City came out like a house on fire.
What was it? Maybe like a statement playing at home? That the lack of faith in Juan Mata?
Yeah, it might have been.
He started the previous three games. We thought, maybe he's earned a spot under Jose, but when it comes down to the crunch, just not relied on.
Yeah, the Lingard one was surprising. I don't know if we're going to see him near the starting lineup for a while after that that performance.
Well, he's injured from being had the bus run over him several times post-match by Jose, right? He didn't mention names, but said certain individuals. He's not French, of course.
No, that's Arsene Wenger talking about. Arsene Wenger was talking about the impression. Jesse Lingard.
But there are 700,000 Portuguese who live in Paris, so, I mean, you're catering to the diaspora.
The Franco-Portuguese contingent.
Yeah. After they won the Euros there, it was probably about 17,000. There's just 10,000 came out of the woodwork.
Oh, all these kids in 9 months named Adair.
Oh, yeah, 9 months. Very good.
Lindegaard. Lindegaard, but yeah, I mean, Jose was out coach, wasn't he? I mean, he said before the match, I'd rather have Aguero in the lineup because at least then we know the formation.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure I believe that.
And I'd like to be able to, for Manchester United's sake, blame the new bodies and trying to figure out chemistry and this and that. But City are going through the exact same thing and they look like such a more settled team. I mean, John Stones has looked really good and fit in nicely and they look just so much more organized. And, you know, they have some of the old vets, but Otamendi looks like a new player all of a sudden under him.
Well, he doesn't have Mangala breathing down his neck.
David Silva, although he's always been brilliant. I mean, he's been reinvigorated because I think the last year and a half, he's kind of been up and down. And De Bruyne looks like
best player in the league right now.
He looks
I think so too.
You know, the top 3 to 5 in the league on every week. And this week, I think he was, you know, probably the best player in the league all week. Nolito's fitting in nicely. And even when Sané came on, you thought, geez, these guys all kind of get it. Like, they're smart buys, and they're buys that Guardiola knew exactly how he was going to use them and what their, you know, X factor could be on this team. And I think that even without Aguero, they look like they're humming on all counts. And if they can get that consistency up front, and if Iheanacho can be, and we talked about this at the start of the season, if he can be the guy to kind of spell him when he's injured and or now suspended, then they're very dangerous.
However, could be an issue between the pipes. Claudio Bravo, boy, who you mentioned, Mkhitaryan, you know, surprised by a start. I was very surprised he started this game.
Yeah.
He just arrived. And we saw so many guys who arrived at the deadline not playing this weekend because they haven't, you know, learned the systems yet. And it's funny, post-match Pep says he was amazing, amazing. And Nolito says he was spectacular. Well, I guess spectacular could be a word you could use.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, aside from the goal, you know, which he gave up to Ibra, which was just, you know, everything you concern yourself about with Bravo being a smaller goalkeeper, not used to the physical play of the Premier League, that was highlighted in that goal. But just this great guy with his feet, didn't look too great with his feet,
did he? Terrible with his feet. He was inviting on pressure. There was multiple times when he was bringing on the pressure and almost giving it away. And he was it Ibra that he took down?
Yeah, that could have been a penalty. I don't think it was.
It could have been.
But you could see it given.
You could definitely see it took given.
Rooney. Mourinho wanted it, yeah.
Mourinho thought for sure. Was it Rooney?
That was a penalty. Though I was surprised by the reaction of City fans on Twitter. I made some tweet in reference to the hangover. Bradley Cooper makes the phone call. We effed up. Mm. And I got attacked by City supporters who said, how dare you? Like, it's his first time out. Like, Bravo was great. This is just the keeper we need. We watched the same game.
How would they thought if they didn't win? That's the thing. They're just riding. They're riding the wave.
He almost cost them the win.
They're riding the wave of winning the match and thinking, oh, nothing is bad. But think about if they had drawn 2-2 or if he had made another mistake. I mean, he was that close to making a second major mistake that cost them 3 points. And, I mean, it was ugly. Yeah, and you just wonder, like.
I agree. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. Right?
But come on, City fans. You cannot sit there and honestly say he was okay. He wasn't. He dreadful.
He clearly was rattled by the mistake. And for 50 minutes, it was a ticking time bomb if he was going to make that brutal mistake. And there were six or seven times when it was that close.
Somewhere in Nono's Cafe in Torino, a tiny little espresso glass went shattering into the wall. And then and then Joe Hart went and did it himself. Did you see?
Yeah, he wasn't very good in his first match, was he?
He lost, and I felt bad for him because it was all over Twitter, like, instantly.
Yeah.
It's not often I get Torino-Atalanta updates.
The poor bastard, he's trying to escape the spotlight and reinvent himself. And because of social friggin' media, there is no hiding place.
Absolutely. At Opta Joe. Joe Hart has made as many errors leading to opposition goals in Serie A, one appearance, as he did in 35 Premier League appearances.
Really? It's funny, Craig Forrest always laughs about the passing stats of goalkeepers and people comparing Bravo to Hart, and Bravo had, like, you know, 95% success rate or something. And he goes, yeah, but Bravo was passing the ball 10 feet to defenders back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Under Pellegrini, Hart's hoisting it to the halfway line. It's very different football. You can't really compare the passing stats considering the systems in place.
I just don't understand still why, I mean, you know, Pep waited this long. Why couldn't he have instilled this and got his keeper in the offseason? Did they get Bravo at a better price than they would have got at the beginning of the transfer window?
Because reportedly, Pep, for the last 6 months, was studying Man City games, like, so closely.
And he thought Hart could be his guy.
Decided then that Hart wasn't his guy. So you're right.
Right.
Why wasn't this deal made earlier?
I think it's, of course,
is it politics? Is it club politics? You know, moving Joe Hart, who's really the face of that team over the last decade.
Yeah.
Maybe there's more to it in the club.
It took us all by surprise, didn't it?
That's what I'm saying.
It just kind of was like, oh, first team not there. And
I thought, oh, this is great for Joe Hart and for England.
Yeah.
You know, getting, you know, coaching different style of football.
But it's okay. It was John Hart who made that mistake for Torino.
Team sheet.
Wasn't Joe Hart's identical twin, John Hart.
Yeah. Joe's gone, and now he's Joe Hart.
John Hart.
Hey, you know what though? I watched the Serie A. I watched the end of Bologna and
Cagliari.
Yes,
the espresso fixture Sunday morning. Were you still up?
No, I was waking up. I woke up for Villa. Also on that four-letter station.
They're on BN.
Big game. El Crapolo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Villa and Forest. Yeah.
Big 2-2 draw. I got a couple of points in that game I'll save for a minute. But did you know Bruno Alves is playing at
Bruno
Bologna?
Alves.
No idea.
Is he really?
I had no idea. So you get 8 selections here, one of which doesn't have audio, and maybe they'll just cut the game at halftime. I don't know. That's exactly what happened to Villa. I ended up watching on some illegal stream, for Christ's sake. But so much for the monthly subscription. But I'm watching the espresso fixture just for laughs. And Bruno Alves scores a beauty free kick.
Wow.
What a way Bruno to introduce Alves. Yourself to the Serie A.
Some of the names that pop up, eh? Yeah. I saw this week Pellegrini is coaching in China now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Wow.
No idea.
But which club?
It doesn't matter.
Remember when Rowan Ricketts went to play in India and his teammate was Climax Lawrence?
Yes.
What are the odds? Yeah. A billion people over there. Our guy shows up in India and that's his teammate.
Rashford comes on and actually looks dangerous, doesn't he?
Looks
How long
great.
Before Rashford cements himself in that starting 11?
Not very long. It could be as soon as next week. I mean, I think that he's an option. They're still feeling out those options, but I think that the consistency with which he is dangerous when he does come on is a big thing. But you also wonder, is he suited to that role right now at this young stage of his career? Yeah. I mean, we saw it with England and we've seen a lot with Man United, the impact he can have as a sub. And sometimes guys are better in those 20, 30 minute spurts and bringing all that energy. And I don't know if we've consistently seen with the big club anyway, the 90 minutes. I know he's done it obviously in the reserves and he's done it. You know, he was great with the England under 21s, I believe.
Yeah, hat-trick last week.
The week before.
Yeah, but until you see a run of games, you don't know.
Absolutely, you don't know. I wonder if you're messing with a good thing in a sense right now where you're getting such good performances in these 30-minute sub appearances that maybe you want to continue that for a while if you can, and if you can handle that with Ibra having such a load up top by himself.
Oh, that's precisely it. I mean, are they becoming a bit dependent on
Ibra? A little
bit.
Yeah, no, you could see
that
already.
Who else is going to score these goals?
Yeah, bail us out. I mean, Pogba's been disappointing.
He was this weekend.
This weekend, for sure. And I think that when it comes to that price tag, you hope for immediate dividends and immediate impact. And
he was never going to come.
He was almost invisible in that match for me.
All the talk about, you know, him going back to his home, to place that he was quite comfortable. He just went away on vacation. Yeah, but he came back to a home where everybody was different. It's not, you know, a handful of guys that he'd played with in the youth teams, but not guys that are featuring, not the guys that he's playing with.
Also,
so he's building that chemistry mid-season.
Also coming back and having to be, you know, the guy. I know you have Ibra, so you're not necessarily the, but again, when you come with that kind of price tag and that kind of, you know, off-season where it was just such a struggle and you're the man and you've just played for France there and you've gotten to the final, like the expectation is through the roof and it's not easy to come in and immediately shoulder that. And I just wonder how he's going to respond the next few games.
What happens first? Okay, back to Rashford here and a Rooney comment here. Rashford cements himself in the starting 11 or Rooney gets his place on the bench rather than the starting 11? What happens first?
Rashford
this season?
First.
You think so?
Yeah.
Rooney.
I don't know how they work them all in, but square pegs round hole, but
I think it's been asked more and more this question. You look at Rooney's stats from this weekend again, they're not good.
No.
They're not good stats. And he's not a horrible player, far from it. But as the creative linchpin in the number 10 position for Manchester United right now, come on.
I was watching him closely because there was a few balls that were stellar that he'd swung in. Not too many other guys could do that. But then it just wasn't enough. And if it doesn't result in a goal every time, you can't justify him being out there for 60 minutes, 70 minutes. Like, I don't know how he played. Pose the Twitter poll, you know, does he feature in the reverse fixture? The next derby is, I think, the end of February.
Really good question. You know, that would be fascinating because by
he's
then...
still on the side.
You'd hope Mkhitaryan's found his match fitness. And I know he can play wide, but he can also play centrally.
Yeah.
And he's very good
centrally. He would be fantastic. That's where he's best used centrally. But you can't do that if you have to keep running Rooney out there for political reasons or whatever it might be.
Richard D. Barter tweeted our thoughts on all the media hype about how Jose's megastars would embarrass City. There wasn't any, was there? I think people into this one respecting embarrass City.
Yeah, I think Man United were slight favorites, but I don't think it was...
were they favorites?
They were.
Were they?
They were slight favorites, wow. Yeah. I mean, at home,
I guess.
And
perfect start to the season.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, it was fair. And to be honest, I'll put my hand up and say that I thought United... would probably win. Shaded if I had to choose a side, and just maybe it was because they'd been at home, and you know, I picked them to win the title, and I thought that they'd rounded into form nicely and quickly, but the opposition, of course, wasn't overly strong. I mean, who they'd played, it wasn't a who's who, and it wasn't either for City, to be honest. So it was kind of one of those where, okay, what do we got? And I don't think that it was complete dominate. The first half, the first 40 minutes, of course, but Man United were probably the better team in the second half. And
again, but that was partly because of Pep adjusting his tactics too.
Yeah.
To sit deeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't.
But City were playing well on the counter as well and getting their chances. I mean, there was a couple times where they could have scored. De Bruyne obviously hit the post, and a few others where they still looked dangerous and it could have been a goal fest. So, yeah, the tactics changed and they were sitting and trying to hit on the counter. And, you know, United took those chances to come at them, but obviously couldn't finish one.
Next up for City, Bournemouth, Swansea. This is in the league, of course. Spurs in October. That's a tough one. Everton, Southampton, West Brom, Borough, Crystal Palace, Burnley. How long before we're talking the 100% season?
Didn't City do this last year?
Yeah, they did.
Didn't they go out and start on fire? And we all picked them to win the title because they looked dominant in the first five or six matches. So I'm going to wait a little longer this time.
You know, there's going to be a headline in like the Mirror or something about, you know, the perfect season pretty soon, right?
Oh, my God. Invincibles.
Yeah. For as complimentary as we're being to City, and for as great a match as they played, particularly a great execution, excuse me, as that plan was, I expected the game to look a lot more like the second half than it did through 90 minutes. But I also thought that City were going to concede in that second half. And had they done so, all of this talk would have been completely undone. I almost think
you're
that
right.
for you know, as much as we want to applaud them adjusting, they were really vulnerable, I thought, in that second half. Where if United had walked away with a point, they didn't deserve it, but they could have got it. It was
sure.
It was absolutely there for the taking.
And it wouldn't have been, you know, a smash and grab had
yeah.
City of had United got a point.
No.
Right.
It would have been, okay, fair enough, better
yeah,
team in the second
enough.
Half.
Yeah.
I tell you, you're not welcome in Opera Bubs anytime soon, are you? I mean, you're
all over
City.
City.
Here, right?
You walk in with your sky blue polo on. You've, where's your allegiance at?
Not going to lie, though. Yeah. At 2-0, at 1.61 did flash across my mind for a split second at 2-0. Mm-hmm. I just thought,
really?
Are we going to see that? There was
No. There's no way United would score a goal.
Yeah.
The way they were dominating, though.
Yeah.
I mean, United were poor in fairness as well, but just the high press by City, they lose the ball, then boom, three or four guys
difficult
getting that ball
team
back.
To play, yeah.
United look flustered, and you know Jose was very critical of his team in that first half.
And Guardiola is all about fitness, right? So he's obviously got them there at this point. It's just, can they consistently do it? Obviously with Europe this week, they're at home, which doesn't mean much travel, but when you start mixing in the Cups and Champions League and more,
a lot of games,
I wonder, it'll be interesting to see if they can keep up that level of intensity and fitness through every match.
Well, I think you'll see a very similar pattern in future games, and that they'll come out guns a-blazing and play that way. Now, you can't do that for 90 minutes. And then second half, they're going to sit a little deeper and counter, you know, which is what they did, essentially, against United. And it turned out to work. But you're right, you can't really play that style for 90 minutes. And they don't. Even Barcelona didn't do it for 90 minutes, close to it.
Is Pep's weekend made better by the fact that he could go home and watch a couple hours later Barcelona lose to Alaves?
Yeah, I know.
He must. It must put a smile on his face when Barça.
He's
struggled there.
No,
I think he's still Barça.
Yeah, I mean, he still loves the club.
Yeah.
But obviously, politically, it's been so much. You know, when Sandro Rosell took over, you know, him and Rosell just didn't get on, and very publicly didn't get on. So you wonder where they're at right now. Well, would you ever be surprised to see Pep return to Barcelona one day?
No, one day.
He's young enough, right?
Still a young guy.
Yeah.
Things change. I think after he coaches Spain or...
We're really pissing off the City fans right now.
Already talking about Pep leaving?
Yeah. Well, he's going to get bored in two
JC
more seasons.
JC plans not having you right now, punters.
Well, so City 100%, United formerly 100%, no longer. Chelsea also dropped points for the first time this season against Swansea.
Perfect
2-2.
Season gone.
Yep, gone. Diego Costa, eh? What a glorious, magnificent asshole he really is, eh?
Yeah.
You can't look away with him, can you?
No. He's
my God. He is just always doing something to piss you off.
Yeah. But if he was on your team, You'd love him. It's like playing in charity tournaments.
Claude Lemieux. The Claude Lemieux of the Premier League.
Exactly what he is.
Diego Costa. 100%.
I just called him the Thomas Dabi of charity tournaments, and you counter with the Claude Lemieux.
All right. Very good.
Although, he should have scored a hat-trick.
Yeah.
Right? That miss.
Oh, that miss. That was
when he went across goal.
Miss of the season so far.
Shovel and spade and dig.
Yeah. Bury him.
Yeah. But boy, I mean, in fairness, Chelsea were unfortunate, I think, in that one. Yeah. They were by far the better team in the first half, but the Leroy Fair goal after clearly fouling Cahill, who was apoplectic. Is that the word?
Apoplectic.
No, all of the Charmin words.
Apoplectic. That's tough.
All of the Charmin words.
He was really angry post-match.
All of your words start with P. You can't introduce a new word to our lexicon that doesn't start
right.
with P.
Prognostication.
Penultimate, pedantic. Penultimate, all pedantic. These words I never use until
petulant.
I met you.
Petulant. Yeah,
that's a great one.
Oh, he was pissed. See, pissed. There you go. That's much better. Yeah, pissed. Gary Cahill was pissed post-match.
Hey, there you go.
And no wonder, right? I mean, how that wasn't called. Was it Mariner and Audrey Mariner in that game? I think it was.
I think so.
My word.
They all
terrible,
blend together.
Terrible
now.
Blown call. Chelsea now have got 5 points from goals in the last 10 minutes of games.
Yeah.
Out of the three new managers, right, that's the one team that kind of stands out a little bit below the other two, doesn't it, still? Not quite there. And if you look at the 11 and the squad even, but really it's only Kante who's really a regular starter that's different from last season and that terrible team last year.
But Kante also the perfect player to make this team Conte's and still resemble the Chelsea side that the fans know and that side that he was in a lot of ways stuck with that he couldn't turn over overnight.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, I'm not writing them off. They're a very good team. And last season, that was a freak.
Yeah,
season for them.
I think it kind of says it all, though. I mean, the fact that we're talking about them as potential title contenders, or at least, you know, being in the mix. And
I picked them to win, and I
the difference a year made just because of
the league. Sorry,
I did pick them to win.
Oh, you did,
yeah.
Just because of the manager, just the fact that players are actually playing to their full potential, and I think, you know, Costa is one of those guys that something clearly wasn't right with Mourinho, and they didn't. Yeah. See eye to eye, and you just see the brilliance of him when he's on, and the goals he scored were absolute beauties and got them a point. Could have had the hat trick we talked about in the miss, but a guy that is reinvigorated all of a sudden when he's motivated.
He looks unhappy.
Oh.
He looks happy now.
Looks like
he looks unhappy, and that's good.
Yeah.
You want him to be miserable.
Oh, you just want him to be.
But take it from me. When you turn 40, you get, you know, angry a bit like
that resting bitch face. That's a permanent thing that you got.
So it's tough when you hit those later years in life.
Hat tip to Swansea though for reminding us how great Udinese were those years. I felt like that's exactly who Chelsea were playing.
Yeah,
they felt like one of those games.
They were at them, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also a great stadium when that place gets rocking. You know, it's one
Sounds
of those
amazing.
That you really, when you have a good game going there and the crowd's into it and Swansea are playing well, it's one of the best places to watch a game.
The Welsh, if you're Welsh, you can sing, right? Mm. It's kind of, you're born that way. You just can. And they sound beautiful. Mm. It's true. You go to a rugby match at Cardiff Arms Park, man, and you close your eyes. You could be in a cathedral.
Is that nice?
It's incredible.
I didn't know that was the Welsh stereotype. Well, that they're all good singers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's many Welsh stereotypes.
Oh.
But that's a big one. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Do you want to list any more?
Of the Valleys. Was that?
Do you want to list any more Welsh stereotypes?
I better not. Right.
No.
Now.
We know the one. Yeah. The big one.
Yeah. No, they sound beautiful. They do. And in fine voice, Swansea. Absolutely. And perhaps lucky to get the point in that one. Fabregas comes off the bench for the second time this year. Again, looks really good. Mm-hmm. He's got, I think, earn a spot, don't you think, in that 11 pretty soon?
Yeah, he was a difference maker when he came on. I mean, a lot of things were going through him, and he was involved. So I think that ideally he is playing at that level where you can put him in there and he plays throughout the 90 minutes at that level. So another one of the guys, I hate to keep harping on it, but where the hell was this last year? And he was just completely...
Yeah.
Lost last season.
That's why I don't trust them.
I don't know how I don't know how their fans can trust them. It must just be this odd thing.
Are they likable now? If you're Chelsea fans, let us know. Do you support your team? Do you like your
players?
Team?
Yeah.
Because of what happened last year.
I think that maybe some of that lack of trust comes from Conte as well. But also the way Fabregas has been playing, to go back to our Rashford conversation, I don't know if I'd change it immediately. Mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic. And you look at the way Conte's teams have played in the past, the way that he uses his, not super subs, not the right term, but players who we think should get in the side or would get in any other side, And look at it with Italy. You know, Hazardair plays 70 minutes so he can bring on someone with a ton of energy in the last 15. Right? It was always, it was always a different player.
Yeah.
I think the Fab's being used perfectly.
I still watch Hazard play, right? And you see the flashes, but I also see him pull out 50-50s. Mm. You know, he's not a guy that would trust at all.
That's just him. That's just him. I think he'll always be that guy.
I know. And he can be brilliant. He can be a game changer. He can win you a championship. I know that.
He'll never win the Ballon d'Or.
No. Exactly. Liverpool beat the champions, Leicester, 4-1 in the new and improved Anfield, which, speaking of fine voice, sounded pretty damn good as well.
Yeah. It's amazing. Huge with prawn sandwiches in their face, they can sing like that. Must have been a bunch of Welsh.
Must have been,
It's not
far a drive, is it?
A lot of Welsh Liverpool fans Northern Welsh and great making voice. The trip. Yeah. I mean, this is Leicester, kind of what we thought might happen. Obviously, very early, but we didn't see this once last year. I mean, we didn't see them get pounded like that, and that was what it was. And obviously, Liverpool was one of the two teams to beat them last season, but didn't see that from them, and kind of was a game where, you know, Ranieri wanted a statement, and he said kind of before the match, no one's safe in my team. If anyone's, you know, not up to par, they'll be dropped. I'm not afraid to make the changes, and it felt like a message. So I expected a good performance from them. I expected them to go out and really give Liverpool all they could handle and maybe get a point, maybe steal all three. And they weren't even close. I mean, they weren't able to handle Liverpool's passing game. They weren't able to handle the width. And it was surprising because, again, we haven't seen that from Leicester in a really long time. And all of a sudden, 4 games, 4 points. They're kind of plummeting, dropping where everyone expected them to. And
they are who we thought they were. Is that
full credit to Liverpool. They were great, but a little disappointed in Leicester right away.
For sure. I think that, you know, there was a lot of parallels between these two because in a lot of ways I felt like I was watching Liverpool play with the same swagger and type of just confidence without really a heightened, no anxiety in the team. Like Firmino to me almost looked like Vardy last season where he was just waiting for Leicester to make a mistake and then absolutely pounce on them and make them pay. And he did.
Twice. Except for Lucas.
Every time I touch the ball in men's league, I have the potential to pull a Lucas.
I know. Okay? I know the feeling.
So I know exactly where he's coming from.
I feel bad for the guy because he's just back in the team. He's playing a center half,
makeshift
too.
Makeshift back four. Right? I mean, that was...
Why was he there?
Hey, listen, Pep loves making defensive midfielders into center backs. Look at Mascherano.
Yeah.
Right? Look at... Even Gustavo.
So you said just that injuries that was stuff the inspiration? Right away, right? I mean...
Yeah, that's precisely what it is, right? Yeah. Lovren got a brutal black eye in training on Friday. Swelled shut.
Klavan hurt still?
This might be a good thing, actually. Yeah. I'd rather have Lucas and Klavan. And Sacco's back in, I won't say back in favor, but at least this week, Klopp has said that, you know, he can win his spot back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a message being sent there. But yeah, there's some issues there. I think Karius will probably get in goal the next couple of weeks, especially given that poor Mignolet got beaten up pretty bad in that game. Nose, eye. But they're fun to watch. When they get the ball at their feet, you think they're going to score a goal. Oh. And when they lose the ball, they think they're going to score a goal against,
just
right?
Great attacking prowess. And I mean, obviously, adding Mane as well. It's just
a good signing so far at one.
And when all the minutes, it all really fits. I mean, going forward, if Firmino can be that consistent goal scorer, which I think that he's starting to show that maybe he can be. I think it's always kind of been a question for me. And, you know, Sturridge all of a sudden becomes, I don't know if he's...
He played pretty well, though.
He was decent, but
he's working hard. He's backtracking, which you'd never thought you'd see from Daniel Sturridge.
I am surprised. I think this is where you're going, Dobbs, that Sturridge is not as important to this team as we thought he'd need to be. He's certainly capable of contributing.
Yeah, I think that
contributes in spurts, but I thought he was going to be more integral to what...
I think he's a squad player at this point, isn't he?
Yeah, I
mean, he'll have important games. And he'll get some minutes for sure. But like Coutinho obviously didn't play this weekend, so in he comes.
How much of that is management, do you think? Is Klopp actually managing this player? Like, you can't be my guy because you're going to be out 6 months of the season.
Sturridge has never been a Klopp-type player, right? You look at Klopp-type players, right? Firmino is a Klopp-type player.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Lallana, when Klopp arrived, remember I said, you know, the one guy I think could really benefit from Klopp is Lallana, who loves to work hard, can press. He's been a sensation this season.
He's been
right. They're Klopp
really
players.
Yeah, it's a great phrase. It's rolled off the tongue. A Klopp type player. I liked when you said that. Klopp type player. Yeah, it's good.
Doesn't sound as good in our accent.
It's the P's again, right? It's the P's.
Yeah.
Klopp type player. Yeah.
Peter Piper picked a peck of Klopp type players.
Yeah. Peter Piper picked a pick of Klopp type players.
Peter Piper picked a top pick of Klopp type players. All right, moving on.
Yeah, all right. But yeah, good performance. back in the win column for Liverpool.
At Chelsea next on...
Friday, right? Is this Friday coming up, right?
Ooh. Liverpool at Chelsea, Friday afternoon. Lovely.
I like having those Friday kickoffs.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it takes away from our Bundesliga coverage on Sportsnet World, but...
It was on the mains last week. Bayern and Schalke were on the mains on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
That's right.
Did you come out of that game?
No, it ended at like 4:15. Oh, okay. It was like a 2:15 kickoff.
You should talk about the Liverpool game on Tim and Sid on Friday.
Yeah, we'll show highlights. We'll make sure highlights are in. Yeah, we will.
Tottenham scored 4 goals. What are you laughing
at? Nothing. Yeah, we will.
obviously, James will. It's a big game. And
we do highlights.
We do show soccer on Tim and Sid. I know. I'm just...
Hey, I force it in there. All right.
You don't need to convince Sid too often to show footy. Spurs, Stoke. Spurs look great.
Son time.
Coming in there for Lamella was a beast. Mm-hmm. 2 goals and assist. Kane scored his first of the season, 50th. For Spurs,
50.
Just a 4th player to do that in the Premier League era.
That's surprising.
Do you know who the others are?
For Spurs?
Yeah.
Oh. Klinsmann? No?
Nope.
Really?
Really.
Oh, my God. Then I'm out.
Robbie Keane?
Yes.
Jermaine Defoe?
Yep.
Keane, Defoe, and...
This one will be really obvious when you hear it.
Teddy Sheringham?
Yes.
Yes. There we go. That's pretty good. Yeah, right. That's quick. Bunners.
Good. Yeah.
Didn't get one wrong. Well,
that
no,
for the year-end quiz.
Klinsmann, yeah.
Write that one down there.
Are we going to get another person?
Yeah, we all know how that's going to go.
It's going to have Javi beat me again.
Tommy Elphick for you?
Yeah.
Tommy Elphick's going to get suspended. He keeps getting booked.
Oh, yeah?
Stoker, 5 of the last 9 games, they've conceded 4 goals.
That's Mark Hughes, not a happy camper either. Yeah. That was pretty, you could just see the frustration boiling over already in the early season. And then, I don't know if you guys caught it, but kind of the start of the second half, and he was up in the stands, and they were trying to get the headset, and he couldn't talk to them. It wasn't working. On his phone, and they're like, oh, I hope the service is okay. It's usually bad here. I'm like, nothing can go right for them. They're trying to even establish a connection to the bench. Can't even do it. He's on his cell phone, and you can see he's trying to text the second guy. It's like, oh, my God, it's a nightmare right now.
But if you want to get a bet in, mate, Bet365, there's a shop around
exactly.
the corner.
Bet365 Stadium.
I'm still going to call it the Britannia. Until Bet365 picks up the phone and says,
I know. We're going to sponsor
call
the podcast.
Call it by his real name.
We're going to sponsor the podcast if you start calling it the
and give Dobby a free deposit, then we'll...
£1,000 for Dobby to waste in the next week or so.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think... Stoke's start is very concerning because I think there was a lot of hope going into the season they could improve on. I think it's 3 straight 9th place finishes. And I think that they're like, okay, well, that's minimum. And then can we go from there? Because they did make some what looked like good signings. And I do quite like the team. So I'm pretty shocked at how they've started so poorly. They're a pretty settled team at the back. You know, Shea Given in goal, obviously, now, but bringing in Joe Allen and Bonnie, I think. Mbula was a really good signing last season, and I'm surprised what's going wrong there so early. I think that they better get out of it quickly because mentally you don't want to be sitting in that bottom 3 after 10 games and worrying about, damn, are we actually in trouble here?
I wouldn't have expected Mark Hughes to be the first manager sent to the stands.
He probably isn't.
He's leaving the field. He's trying to...
Yeah, no one's been banished to the stands yet.
That surprises me.
That no one hasn't.
Yeah. I know John Gibbons was over the weekend.
Well, that's every week. Yeah.
I feel like it was the 8th time, like the last 3 times. The fact that we're still saying it's only been 8 ejections for John Gibbons is surprising.
It's an absurd amount.
Well, speaking of absurd, Marko Arnautovic's hair. It looked less ridiculous the last time.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, just go for the stupid, like, high ponytail.
Yeah.
Instead of that, whatever that was.
The whole, you have to be really
To be Leo Messi.
You have to be really good to do that with your hair, right? Or just do stuff with your hair.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he was booked not really for diving. Good. It was just booked for the awful lid. Yeah. And that's why Hughes was sent off.
I just think if you're not a very good player or you're average or even above average, you know, just let your football do the talking.
Yeah.
Don't let people, there's a target. Now you've got a target on your back. You're a twat because of your hair.
And now you're going to have a poor game and start losing games. They're going to start targeting you.
Is this Sharman's way of like trying to indirectly mentor me?
Yeah,
is this him?
Kinda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty much.
I have a pair of yellow boots that I've yet to wear because I'm not good enough to wear them. No, I'm not wearing them tomorrow. No.
What's tomorrow? You guys
we're playing
in
a charity tournament. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Set it up. Explain how great
Holland
this is
Blue Review charity tournament. Gracie because. Rogers essentially organizing it.
Uh-huh.
And it's a celebrity draft. Right? So there's like 18 teams, but there's so Danny Dicchio, Craig Forrest, Dwayne De Rosario, Terry Dunfield, there's some other like obviously big name footballers.
And
Brendan Dunlop,
players.
James Sharman.
You guys going to be the last picks
in
no
the
school.
Doubt we're gonna be, I would hope so. If you're listening and you're playing or you're drafting, just honestly, don't do anything silly, okay? Don't do anything silly. We're not very good.
Yeah.
All right? So
take
leave us
Charmin
to the end.
Over punters. Well it's a toss-up.
Don't do that.
Charmin's complete injury risk.
Yeah, I am. Exactly.
Well, Dunlop's running in quicksand. So, I mean, Dunlop will last the whole tournament, but it'll be running in quicksand. Charmin...
I'll play hard.
He'll go hard for 10 minutes, and then his Achilles will go, and we're in real trouble.
Exactly. I've actually got come through the last couple of tournaments.
That's shocking, yeah.
It is shocking.
You had a bad stretch where it was
a couple of years,
injury,
wasn't it?
You
a couple of years. Broken bones.
Yeah, and they were like completely debilitating injuries.
They were. Yeah. Like, the one Dunlop was he was calling the game over the loudspeakers, and he thought I'd broken my leg, and so did I. I'm being carried off, and I can just hear in the tannoy, and that's James Sharman, my buddy, being carried off. There's Adam Van Coverden carrying me off the field, like literally carrying me off the field, and I think I've broken my femur.
That's nice.
But what a story. I mean, the fact that you get to tell your daughter that, you know, this Olympian carried me off.
And then, the even more embarrassing part was I had to change into my kit beside him in the locker room before. And you ever changed beside an Olympian? You don't feel good about yourself.
Completely fit.
Especially a kayaker who's like just ripped.
Hopefully his 22 push-ups in 22 days.
All right.
I think I might do a juice cleanse this week, actually.
Really? Nice. They're fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Only
right
juice
through
and smoothies for 3 days.
Attaboy.
The maturity.
Trying to cut down?
Trying to drop a couple LBs.
Yeah.
Really? You know, when you work daytime, it's harder to manage.
You know,
summertime,
like,
man.
Bloody we'll daytime, the calf, some chicken fingers for life. What am I doing here?
Like, well, you're sitting right beside Sid.
Changing next to Olympians.
Sid. Yeah, no. And just by sitting beside him through like osmosis or whatever, you get fat. Right?
The belly.
And your opinions
Sid's
become far
fat,
more pointed
has a
and
belly.
Sharp.
No, he's a weird shape.
It's a weird, he's not no, fat. He's fat. Just the belly.
Yeah. And he can get through a tournament without hurting himself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I picked him for our team last
scored
summer.
Scored a nice goal last
just
time.
Just so I wouldn't be the worst player. I was the worst player by miles.
Oh, yeah. He scored a nice goal.
Sid's ceiling.
The knee slide.
Remember Sid's ceiling?
If I was him, I would have left after that goal. I would have just walked off.
Yeah,
would have just left.
Leaving on a high. Somebody asked about Tottenham, by the way, on Twitter.
Let me guess. Was it Ginger TFC by chance?
You're correct. It was asking about how Spurs will fare in the Champions League and then favorable group. Favorable spelled terribly wrong. Gives him a shot to make a decent run.
We can't answer until he spells the...
Yeah.
Well, let's assess their group here. Like, quickly look at the...
Monaco.
Ooh, Monaco. Where are we here?
CSKA Moscow and Leverkusen.
Banana skins in that group. This is the kind of group where
they
the British media disregard all the other teams.
Well, they
say,
could finish top or bottom, really.
Exactly.
I mean, I think they're kind of Leverkusen. These teams are all kind of not the best teams in their league and middling.
Well, right now, they are bottom in the group right now.
Well, there you go. That's their chances.
Alphabetic.
First game home to Monaco. That's nice, though. But
who's in Monaco these days?
Who's playing at Monaco these days?
Yeah.
That's 11 a great
players.
Question.
João Moutinho.
They did beat Villarreal.
João Moutinho.
They beat Villarreal in the playoff, which
Kostic
was
is there still, eh?
Relatively impressive. Don't ask me about
Falcao was there.
Alan Jagoev, great player. Never really achieved.
He's playing at Monaco?
Yeah.
Oh, but he wasn't even in the Russian squad.
I know. He's one of those guys that was supposed to be the next Andre Arshavin.
Now he's Boyan Krkić.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on the bench this weekend, by the way, Krkić.
Yeah. But Falcao's back. He scored in preseason, and he didn't feature in those Champions League games. I haven't seen Monaco
Falcao's
since,
back?
But, yeah.
With Monaco?
Kamil Glik?
Yeah.
Polish defender?
Back. He's always been their player.
Honestly, I know he's loaned, but I'm looking at the squad here. I don't see him.
He played in the... I know he played preseason because they were referencing him in the Champions League.
He's not in China?
Players.
You sure he's not in China? He could be in China.
Use the Google machine. I'm the one sitting here without a computer today.
See, the Berezovsky brothers are still there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alexei and Vasily.
I'm seeing Glick.
A lot of Russian investment in Monaco there, huh?
Yeah.
Bald Polish defender.
Are you looking up a
hero? I am trying, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See, this is what happens when I get here first. You get the computer over here.
I'm happy with my cup of joe.
I wouldn't have been.
Leisurely stroll.
Girlfriend gave me a ride today. It's nice.
Oh.
Got here early. Got the subway in?
No, she gave me a ride down here.
I was being inappropriate.
I gotcha.
Very inappropriate. Right. Thank you. Jesus.
Right. Dobby's different now that he works the day shifts. I mean, his eating habits are poor. Mm-hmm. He's concerned about his weight.
He plays for Monaco.
He's still there, right?
That he
still
does.
Mm.
Well, there you have it.
All right.
The squad list I see hasn't gotten there.
Any other questions for me since I've got this widely used subscription to watch a bunch of random matches I'd never watch anyway on the weekend?
Well, Arsenal, they won.
They did.
The Saints 2-1.
Incredibly lucky penalty at the end.
Which
another
to me
dubious
just clumsy
one.
To me.
I think there's been. No, I think it was really unfortunate. I think Font did the best he could do there. I mean, you have to give him a chance to be able to defend that, and he got in a good position, and I think he was absolutely shocked it was called, and I don't blame him. I mean, it was a really tough call, and it was all bizarre because Koscielny had been down in the box for about a minute and a half and with a head injury, which, you know, I think that it wouldn't have been odd if the match was stopped. I think it was Bobby Madley, I want to say, was the ref, but with a head injury, you'd think that they might have blown it dead, and they continue, and the penalty's given. I mean, Southampton were going to be very aggrieved, and they had chances themselves to win it. Arsenal had some chances as well.
Southampton have been screwed this year.
They have
more
been,
than one occasion.
Yeah. I think that goes in the list of top five dubious penalties this season, and that's a tough list because there's been at least 10 or 15 that have been tough, I think, in my mind, in four match days.
I was just looking something up on Instagram, and now it's gone, but Font, I've really liked Font long before he even got in the Portugal side. I think he's a great leader and a guy you'd want on your team, but he had a post about the fans' support and took full responsibility for that. But I think he's deleted it, which is a shame. But if you're looking for a decent follow, Jose Font's a good one.
Is he?
I don't know why he removed that, though.
Does he post in English?
He'd post in both. This message that I had read when he was speaking to the... He was saying, like, real fans understand, and real fans don't get on, like, our players. Like, thanks for everyone else who supports, and for all you twats, stop.
Yeah, I mean, listen, those fan base, I mean, they've every year they get another one's left, really?
Yeah.
Another one. And then you see Ralph Kruger, you know, and his European team getting crushed at the pre-tournament games, you know, by the young North Americans.
So they still think he's German.
I know.
Ralph Kruger.
I mean, they're tired. I mean, they're staying up for these games. Right?
Oh, yeah.
The Saints fans to support their boy, Kruger.
They were in League One like 5 years ago. So I think that this is still, they're riding high. And I mean, it's been an incredible rise to kind of get to where they are. Obviously, in the Europa League this week, they got a home game against Sparta Prague, I think it is. And, you know, the heights that they've reached.
Their return to relevance has been...
been amazing. And I think that the turnover, and that's within the players and the manager ranks. Mm-hmm. I mean, the manager turnover, they've become victims of their own success. This feeder club that it's so hard to keep replenishing that. And I think this is a really... potentially dangerous season for them to have a regression, and they have to kind of nip it in the bud. And they have, unluckily, 2 points from four games. I mean, they've drawn their two home games against Watford and Sunderland, which on paper, very winnable. Didn't win them, lost two away games at Man United and Arsenal. Forgivable. But, you know, their next two league games are home to Swansea and home to Palace. So they need to right the ship and get 4 points out of those two, I think, to get back on a nice page.
Southampton have become the Porto and Benfica of the Premier League.
In terms of the
turnover,
game,
replenishing, and how they just have to, in order to maintain
some
it,
clubs
it
can do
overnight.
It, though, and they've shown that they've been able to do it. They've done a fantastic job because, you know, guys just naturally want to leave there because they don't see it as that big club, and
I think
maybe unfair, but
I think they'll be fine. They're not going to, you know, they're probably not going to be top 10.
They'll be fine. I don't worry about them.
The inspirations have come from, or their aspirations, but... I think Claude Puel was a great signing. They've still got a very good core.
Yeah.
They'll be okay.
They'll survive. There's a lot of bad teams in this league.
Oh, yeah. No. They're much too good to go down.
Speaking of good follows on Twitter, Thomas Rungan, our boy, TR.
Oh, my God.
At T. Rungan, always a great follower. Here's his most recent one, B, picture. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A picture of his dental.
He's had them whitened, those teeth.
Nice.
Thomas.
he's working on the four letter quite often, actually.
Here's a better one for you.
He's
have his dental.
Oh, he's having a...
He's having,
I know. I did one of those once. It's a heart...
is it a sleep...
No, not a sleep one. It's
basically it's a half naked picture of TR. He's not wearing a bow tie,
right? He's wearing a bunch of
medical patches. Yeah, patches.
Yeah, no, it manages your heartbeat to see that it is consistent and relevant to what you are going through in a day.
Was yours?
It was, yes.
Yes, your heart's okay. The ticker's mm-hmm. okay.
Ticker's
you
all
guys
right.
should put that on after you play that charity match tomorrow.
I'm gonna need
how you're doing.
the luck.
Sure, it appears you've been running in quicksand for the last 90 minutes.
You ran 1 kilometer, but your heart rate is just rising.
So through the roof.
the other day, my girlfriend and I were just talking about what we're doing next week. I said, "Oh, I'm playing in this tournament on Tuesday." D Row and Dickio, and she goes, "Why do you keep getting asked to do these things?"
Thanks for the faith,
yeah,
love.
Thanks,
I think we're one of the last people they ask, you know, and they get a lot of no's and like, oh, well, we'll ask these idiots because they won't say no.
Exactly. A couple of Leafs probably turned them down and said they couldn't play.
Actually, there's a few ex-Leafs, I think, playing in this thing, right?
There's quite
Rick
a few.
Natras.
Rick Natras?
I believe so. I believe so. I know. I'm happy about this, man.
He was involved in one of the best deals of NHL history. The Flames, the Gilmore trade. Rick Natras went the other way.
That's
Rick
right.
Natras was part of that trade.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah. No, Gary Lehman.
Natras. And Danfus. Wasn't Danfus?
No, that's a Fuhr trade. No. You're thinking of a different one. This is the one for Gilmore.
No, the Gilmore trade. McCowan came over
McCowan
with Gilmore.
McCowan with Gilmore. And I think Lehman Natras came over as well.
All right.
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah, I think he did.
Really? In that one?
Yeah. I'm going to look it up. I was a big puckhead back then.
It was
then.
A five-player trade, wasn't it, I think?
What are you doing, Sherman? Trying to show off your Canadian-ness? We know you love
Rick Natras was in that deal, man. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Wasn't
Ken Mandeville, too?
I don't think he was in that one.
Have a look, and we'll talk football.
What's the time I knew this stuff?
All right. Flames traded Gilmore along with Ford's Rick Natras, Kent Mandeville, Jamie McCowan, and Rick Walmsley in exchange for Lehman, Berube, Alexander Gudinyuk. Never heard of him. Michelle Petit, and goalie Jeff Reese.
Was Jeff Reese. Now, I'm pretty sure.
Five for five.
I'm pretty sure it was the Fuhr and Danfus deal, right? That was what it was, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Grant Fuhr deal.
Jamie McCowan was my favorite defenseman because he looked like my dad.
I had a friend who used to call him Snowshoes McCowan.
Okay, no word of a lie in my household. My dad liked hockey a lot back in the day, too, when I was a kid. Not so much anymore, but.
I can see why.
We have a phrase in our household still when a player, you know, is just he's a pudding, and Jamie McCowan was the original pudding. I'd be like watching the game with my dad or like getting ready to go to bed, and McCowan blow a play. God, he's such a pudding. And we still say pudding about players this day.
Was Jamie McCowan was the original a really good pudding player and had a
tell
great
Rick Natras.
He was always in his ass though, he seemed. Yeah. Him and Mike Foligno.
I was watching a Leafs classic game the other day against the Kings, like game five
93?
From the 93 Western Conference Final, the old great Western form.
MVP, Carey Fraser.
Oh, yeah, it was game five this way. It was just phenomenal. Great watching. I knew every player just by number. I was like,
I know. Insane. I was so into that
team. I couldn't name you three quarters of the Leafs by face.
Well,
right
nor can Mike Babko right now.
Yeah.
Who knows what they
I'll watch a lot more this season.
The descriptive verbiage there used pudding. Was that
pudding?
Because of the
poor player.
Because pudding? Of the children in the household? Did it become like, was it just an easy
thing to say? I don't know, I guess.
Say?
Yeah, I don't know. It stuck though.
Huh.
We're out of time here, guys. Watford beat West Ham 4-2, down 2-0 in that one.
That was wild. Didn't
what
see
a
that
game.
What about Payet's Rabona?
Oh,
for Antonio's
Bona.
Goal.
Whew. Hey,
pretty special.
The Rabona.
I watched the second half when I saw
the reverse worm by Antonio after he scored.
All kinds of great
things
from West Ham.
Still very well doing Rabonas and reverse worms if you win the game, but when you can see four straight goals,
jeez. That's tough.
Etienne Capoue is addicted to scoring goals.
He hadn't scored for Watford all season or in his career, and then three this year.
That's why I don't ever score goals, because I don't want to get addicted.
It's still odd. Very well said. It's still odd to see Mazzari on a Premier League touchline.
It's nice, though. I like it.
Yeah.
It's good.
But at that stadium, it felt a little more authentic. Like he was so far away from the fans. There was the space in between.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
I still don't like the AstroTurf.
I know. Well, I mean, listen, it's not an intimidating venue anymore,
no.
is it? At all.
No.
At all. Bournemouth beat West Brom 1-0. Jack Wiltshire went to Bournemouth to get playing time. Starts on the bench.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a great goal from Wilson. I mean, there was some beauty goal in these lesser games. I know we're kind of breezing over them here, but some of the goals, I mean, that goal in that game, the Burnley Hull game, the goal from Dufour, and then the free kick from Snodgrass at the death. Remember that one, because that's 2 points dropped for Burnley and a point gain for Hull that could be massive at the end of the year. Just all three of those goals were amazing. Even the Watford game, the Deeney one, when he chipped it, when he...
We did mention Koscielny's bicycle kick and Costa's too.
It was an amazing bunch of goals.
When have we ever been the show
week?
That gives credit to every goal?
I'm trying to remember this. I'm trying to remember the Palace goals.
Then we talk about ourselves.
They weren't great.
Hockey.
Yeah. We haven't even gotten to AL East chat yet. Maybe we'll save that.
I'm trying to remember the Borough Palace goals, but none of them were outstanding. But big win for Palace.
Sunderland play Everton later today. We should really get going, boys. Any bits and bobs you want to get to?
Have you guys seen a show called The Night Of on HBO?
No, I haven't.
You guys should watch it. It's phenomenal. It's about there's a crime committed, and it follows the journey of a young Pakistani American in New York who is accused of said crime, and it kind of follows his journey in prison and in
the
court case. HBO. It's
really
very good.
How many is it? One series?
Season.
Okay.
8 episodes just finished. I have one episode to go. I've watched 7, but it's really, really good.
This is based on a true story, or this is a documentary?
It's an HBO show. Drama. Yeah.
Okay. I've just started last season or season 6 of Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah.
Then I've got Narcos as well.
Yeah, I know.
And I hear Stranger Things is amazing too.
Yeah, I watched all.
I need more time.
I know. Need more time.
I wish we had more time on the podcast. We didn't even get to Spain. I mentioned that Barcelona lost to Alaves, and Ronaldo, his first touch since collapsing in the Euro 2016 final, it was a goal.
Yeah.
Did you see his fight with Xavi?
Yeah, I saw that.
Xavi made some comment on the
radio show.
Very innocent comment. And Ronaldo reacted quite petulantly
about
same way he did about Iceland.
So essentially what it was, so Xavi just said that, you know, Ronaldo's a bit unfortunate being in the same era as Messi.
Yes.
Right, which is kind of a backhanded compliment, actually. And then Ronaldo starts retorting saying, well, I've got more followers on Twitter and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
How many Ballon d'Ors have you
Googled,
won, bro?
Yeah, and I'm the most Googled name. Like, don't really care about that.
Yeah.
Chrissy boy.
Sounds about right.
He's like, where are you
perfect.
Playing? Qatar?
Yeah.
Sounds this is Xavi. Like,
that's not a question.
What are you doing?
Yeah. All right. Listen, we should probably go because Vic's late for his next shift behind the glass there. Hope you enjoyed it, guys. I know you probably didn't, but we really appreciate those of you that are still listening to us all these years later. I'm back on Thursday with Molinaro for the Much Better podcast. Cheers for listening.